check out Der Bunker a few days ago, and I know it's coming out on Tuesday through Artsploitation. So if you had to describe Der Bunker to someone that has never seen it, what would you say?
I would say it's a nightmarish view on education.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
It was, for me, it was difficult to describe the genre at first. You know, I didn't really want to say, okay, it's a, what is it? You know, there was the question always in a way. Is it a comedy? Is it horror? Because I felt very free in using all these elements and putting them together and see what comes out. So, and then in the end, people described it also very differently from it's a comedy, it's a satire, it's a dark comedy, it's a trip, so there are all these different views I think people have. And I like the idea that it's kind of a nightmarish view on a topic like education or how to bring up your children. And at the same time, it has elements of absurd comedy and even slapstick and all these different things.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those movies that doesn't really fit in any, you know, tidy box in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So I definitely appreciated that. But it's about a lot of things, like you just said. But I think the most fascinating bit, and I could be way off base here, but like a potential like correlation between Mr. Student's research and mm-hmm. Heinrich. So he's like very much researching the Higgs particle from Higgs boson and physics and stuff like that. So the very existence of Heinrich almost throws his entire research into question, I guess. Is that something that you really thought about?
That's very interesting. Yeah, for me it was important, you know, because there are many things that are pretty much left open in the movie, and we don't really understand the true nature of the student's work. We just know it's very ambitious, and it has something to do with physics, and he wants to go really deep into matter. And then we have a Heinrich character who's someone who assumingly comes from outer space. You know, I don't know, yeah. I don't want to give away too much. So for me, yeah, he was kind of the, how do we say this, like the antidote, the polar opposite. You know, it's something mysterious, it's something unexplained, it's something dark, maybe something irrational compared to the, let's say, scientific or pseudo-scientific work of the students. So I definitely think there's a relation there. And in the end, Heinrich, it seems, helps him through like weird ways, like say sex, you know, to make him move on in his work. But we don't really know if the nature of his work becomes any more clear, or rather more, how do you say this, like conjumbled? No, is that a word like this? You know, like just a big, I mean, he's basically doodling away. And it's like, doesn't make sense anymore. It's all kinds of influences, but he has no order anymore. And I'm sure that is the hellish place that the bunker is, and that is also kind of possessed by Heinrich, that makes him kind of lose his way.
Yeah, I thought that, I mean, all of it's very interesting, but I thought that relationship, or lack thereof, I guess, was really, really fascinating. But I guess I'll come back to that in a minute. But I guess the big question that a lot of people will have here is at what point was it determined in the production process that Klaus was going to be portrayed by a 30-year-old man? Like, how did that happen?
In this case, like the way this movie was made, I was very early who should play the roles of the characters. So I always pictured those people. And I think it started with the role of the student. It started with the first character. And I had the idea of someone who goes away, who needs quiet and solitude, but then all kind of weird things happen and he's basically distracted all the time. And I was thinking, okay, who could he meet along this way? I thought maybe he meets a hitchhiker or some mysterious women he spends time with. Then I thought, okay, he ends up at a strange couple's place, like some kind of hillbillies. And then I thought, oh, what happens when this couple has a son and he comes to this little family? And Daniel Friedmann, who plays Klaus, and who's actually, as you say, like 30 years old, is normally cast for very different roles. He plays kind of crooks, criminals, Nazis, skinheads. And but we did a short film together, and so I know him personally. And I always thought he was a very nice, funny, and lovable guy. And I thought it would be interesting to cast him in a very different role, and that of Klaus. So for me, it was always the connection. I never thought, I have the role of the child and I need to find a child. I actually didn't want to work with a child also because, you know, you have limited hours and all that. But of course, I mean, that's not the only reason, you know, but I think it also, there are different reasons. Also, it gives the whole thing a kind of immediately something otherworldly or something like parable-like. How do you say this? Like a fairy tale. You immediately think this is a weird world that we are in. And I think you have much more freedom in that sense than I think many things that would happen if you had actually 8-year-old child there. I think they would be even more cruel, you know. It's like you kind of, I mean, the way of, if you look at it seriously, I mean, it's a lot of abuse going on. Even a lot of things are very silly. And so I think that would have been tough with a child. And for me, Klaus became kind of also an image of someone who's not allowed to grow up naturally. And that's why he looks, in this bunker world, he looks kind of distorted the way he is. You know, you don't really know, is he, I thought it was interesting that you don't really know how old he is. He could be young, he could be older. It's almost, I mean, sometimes it feels like he's in drag or something with his wig that he's wearing. So all this creating like a mysterious or unique figure, I found that interesting as well. And it gave me a lot of joy also to see Daniel Klingbeil walking around in the pajamas or with his red socks. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, there's a great deal of the narrative that revolves around, you know, parenting and homeschooling and disciplinary action. I mean, was there something like in your life that mm-hmm. made you want to create a movie around those things?
It's a topic I'm very interested in, but thank God it's not autobiographical, the movie. I was not brought up that way, but I was always kind of interested in education because I think childhood and the way we are raised is so important for who we become later in life, and it's such a crucial time. And in this film, I saw the family also as a bit of a like almost like a small religious community. Yeah. And I think family is also something that you cannot get away from. So a bit like in the bunker, you know, it's you don't make the decision who your parents are, who your family is. And these are the people that are very close to you and that affect you in many ways, and you deal with them like your entire life. So that's maybe also a hellish image of family life, what it can be sometimes, you know, in an extreme form. And I think at the time I was writing the story, it was also a lot of debate about kind of helicopter parents. There's a lot of fear, I think, among parents, what their child will turn out later, what it will become, will it make it in the real world, will it be a success? I think so. Sometimes parents are really overprotective with their children, and I think that's something that's also taken to extreme forms here in this film.
Yeah, and it almost seems like there's this cycle that's happening. I mean, you mentioned earlier that a lot of things are sort of kept ambiguous and they're not given answers, but there was almost like this cycle, and I don't want to give away the ending for those who have not watched the movie yet, but there's very much a role reversal that happens at the end of the movie. And I began to wonder about the father and how he tied into everything, because he seemed, he's a little wacky and kooky, but he also seemed to be very intelligent as well. There's a space at like the dinner table where he starts going into his thoughts around time and he's giving these examples, but then he gets interrupted. And that one little conversation almost makes you wonder, like, is he here by his own free will, or is he just another version of Mr. Student from another time?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I think that when I wrote the script, I always had I started to have the impression that also Klaus and the student, that they're somehow connected, or like kind of a mirror image of each other in a way, like the student who has very high expectations for himself, and Klaus whose parents have very high expectations of him, and they kind of, as you say, they kind of switch roles. And I also think that, something new is maybe beginning in the end. And I always thought, maybe the father is not completely the fool he seems to be. And maybe there is something hidden. Maybe it was through the relationship with the mother, who clearly As we in Germany, you have the saying, she has the pants on in the relationship. I don't know if you have that expression in English, but she's clearly in charge in this family. And I think the father is suffering from that too. So yeah, maybe he came in there for very different reasons, maybe, and was brought under the spell of Heinrich or the house as well.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. What year would you say that that Der Bunker takes place in?
Ah, that's a good question, because I think now in the movie there's basically nothing that's really from today. I think maybe some lamp that's in Klaus' bedroom or something. That's like a modern kind of toy lamp or something like that. I would say it takes place today, but we left it completely open. It was more the feeling that it's stuck in time, that the family hasn't really moved on, that they've been in this place for a very long time. And I think there used to be some hints, like the student, he had like a kind of McDonald's cup when he arrives in his hands or something. Oh, yeah. But it's very subtle. It's just some plastic thing. And I think there was a scene, you might find that on the deleted scenes, where the father is looking at a computer. That's about the most modern thing I think we ever had on the set. You know, like it's, I think, an old Macintosh or something. So that's also from the 80s. So we really didn't put anything there that's from today. But if I would say, because that's maybe one thing that was like concrete, because so many things are left vague, even the nature of the student's work, for example. But that he mentioned the Higgs boson, for example, that was quite a current theme, I think, in the last years. So I would say it takes place today, or in a parallel today, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, was that a reason that you deleted that scene out of there? I mean, did you want to keep it as vague as possible?
The scene with the computer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one part of the reason. The other part was, it was part of a kind of montage sequence. There is this scene where the student has, like, the mother comes to the student and they kind of have some sexual things going on, and he progresses apparently in his work. And that was like in the script, it was intercut with the father, who's watching some really dog puppy videos or like cat videos. So they even have the internet, it seems. So he's typing and he's sniffing glue in his little working room, and it kind of just gave the wrong focus for that scene. It was much more interesting to just stay with the student and the mother. But that was more the reason, I think, that we edited that out. But you can see it on the lead scenes, and it explains, because later in the film you see him in this, like, when the student tries to escape, you see him, like, he's in a really weird state, and that's like one thing that is missing, that he's like, he's actually a glue. That's his relief, maybe, from family life. He goes to his like work room, and he works there, does some art, and then he sniffs, he inhales the glue there.
That makes a lot of sense now. Yeah, that actually answers a big question that I had about the entire movie.
Maybe we should have left it in then. I don't know. You can check it out.
Well, there's enough, you know, of just weird shit that goes on in the movie where I don't think it stands out that much.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people, a large section of viewers, are going to be a bit baffled by the ending in general. Mm-hmm. And while I think we all understand, or they will all understand, like, the overarching narrative of, like, the parenting and, you know, not wanting your child to grow up and things like that, I'm not sure that everyone will come away with the same thought of what Mr. Student's role was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to tell us what it is, but in your mind, is there, like, a definitive end to the film, or is everything just supposed to be open and sort of let the viewer draw their own conclusions?
I think that the parents, as well as Klaus, as well as the student, they have changed their positions in different ways, and they have changed a bit too, you know. It's a bit hard to, without giving away too much, but I think that let's say the attitude is left quite open. And for me, the student was kind of the family in itself was quite stable, but the student who came in was kind of the catalyst that brought things into movement. And by this contact, like everything changed a bit in this family structure. I remember at a festival screening, there was a man in the audience who was a family therapist. And he said it reminded him of his work. And he said that there are families who always need someone who has a certain role. Like they always need, for example, a scapegoat, or they always need someone who's the weak member of the family. So to be stable, they just need, like, maybe not like a common enemy or something like that. That's a bit harsh, but, you know, someone that they can let out their frustrations on or something like that. And by that, they otherwise maybe the family would fall apart. And maybe in the end, the students becomes this. But yeah, so for me, even like his, the last, like the, what he's doing in the end is not completely pessimistic. I thought maybe he's even relieved a bit because he had very high ambitions, and maybe it's good that this burden is taken off his shoulders in a way.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like that. And it's, I mean, was that cool for you to have just a random, you know, family therapist come to a screening and lay these thoughts out on you? I mean, was that kind of surreal?
It was interesting because different people see different things in it. And I remember also my aunt, she's a psychoanalyst, so I was a bit scared because she watched the movie here in Germany, and then she wrote me a long email, like a kind of interpretation. And I thought, okay, maybe she will go really deep into my past or the family. But it was really just very kind of insightful about the characters and the psychological things, even though the movie is also very silly in a way, but I found that interesting that people see these kind of things, or let's say the symbolic elements. And so for me, it's very interesting to hear feedback from different people. There was one screening at another festival. For some reason, there was a quite young girl in there with her family. I don't know why a family would take her children to the movie, but she said, oh, she liked the pajamas of Klaus so much, and that a good name for the film would have been The Pajamas. So I think you can see very different things if you watch a movie, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good sign on your part. So what's next for you? I mean, are you doing, are you staying within the genre bubble of, you know, horror thriller sort of things, or are you wanting to kind of stretch out and try something new?
I definitely want to stretch out. I think it's always, interesting to do something else, to challenge myself and try different things. And so I'm developing really different projects, and two are in the genre direction. I have written two scripts that are now in financing that are in the genre view and that are genre movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm also now developing something very different, a children's movie, like real children, for real children, that I'm writing with a co-author. And that's also very interesting, and something that's for like a bigger audience. And like a movie that's made for children, but that's also interesting to watch for adults. So yeah, let's see what happens next. Definitely interesting, you know, to if you can work within different genres. Otherwise, I think it would be a bit boring. Also wrote a comedy, so let's see what happens next.
Well, you're a very, very talented guy. I really, really liked my time with Der Bunker. I think it's that kind of movie that hits on a lot of different levels. So I'll be interested to see. It looks like most of the reviews that's getting from the U.S. press are positive.
That's good.
So I think that, and I know ours certainly is as well. So I'll definitely be interested in seeing your work on the children's film. But hopefully we can get you back in our realm sometime in the not so distant future.
That would be nice. Thank you so much.
No problem, Nikias. And let us know if you need anything in the future. And thanks so much for taking the time and talking with us. And best of luck in the future, man.
Thank you. All the best for you too. And all the best from Berlin here.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.